Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus. We are coming again in this broadcast to the subject, the spiritual sacrifices we offer to God. Some of you have been listening to most of this series, perhaps, and I trust that you have taken heed from God's Word, not because of who is speaking, not because of me, but because God Himself desires to speak to your hearts from His Word. We've been speaking on a very important subject, about the subject of the sacrifices spiritually we offer to God. Most of you are aware, and again, I don't want to go deeply into this subject, but most of you are aware that the term sacrifice usually referred to an offering they made to God of material things or of animals in the Old Testament. And so this phrase is used hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times in the Old Testament, where the people were commanded to offer animals to God, blood sacrifices to God of various types of animals, oxen and lambs and various other kinds of animals they would offer to God. Then, of course, they were to bring grain offerings, and they were to bring other kinds of offerings to God, including their gifts for the support of the work of God. But there's another subject also which runs parallel to this subject of these material things and animals they were to offer to God. And this is a subject that we very often neglect in our lives as we come before God. And we have to be very, very careful that we do not ignore this other subject and this other application of the subject of sacrifices we offer to God. And this subject has to do with the spiritual sacrifices we offer to God. And so we've been talking about this subject, and this is a very, very important subject for our consideration. I want to read today from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5. If you have your Bibles, turn to that with me. Chapter 5, verses 2 to 6. And in chapter 5, it has this to say. We had already read in another subject, we had read chapter 5, verse 1, but now chapter 5, verse 2. Do not be rash with your mouth, and do not let your heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and you are upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. Verse 4. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. In other words, do not neglect to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldst vow and not pay. Do not permit or suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. I want to stop right there. We've gone down actually into verse 6. I want to speak two times on the subject of promises or vows that we make to God. When we talked about obedient worship, I just mentioned the word vow, and so probably that would be the third time we're talking on the subject of vows. But this idea of a vow or a promise to God, God treats as a spiritual thing. It is not simply now something I offer in a material way to God. It's not going to church. It's not giving the support of the church, although this is also very important. But rather it has to do with some heart thing that I do. And in this case, it's a heart promise I make to God. And we make many of these promises to God. We get in some deep emergency and we cry out to God, "Oh God, if you will only deliver me from this problem, if you will only save my loved one from dying from this disease, I promise you that I will do thus and so for you." And then as soon as a person is well or we've been delivered from the promise, we forget it. I was in the army. I will not tell you which war I was in, but I was in the army. And we used to have a phrase in the army, and the phrase was battlefield conversions. And what did this mean? It meant that sometimes the soldiers would be in a battlefield. The bullets were flying overhead. They were certain they were going to die. And they would say to the Lord, Lord, I now turn to you, and I will serve you with my whole life. And, you know, they would wax eloquent before God about all the things they would do if God would please and that let these bullets continue to pass over them rather than through them, and they would be spared from any harm and danger from the battlefield situation. We called this battlefield conversions, because when they finished the battlefield, they were safe, and they realized there was no more danger. They would forget their promise. They never would keep such a promise. But we Christians are often like this. We make a promise to God, and we never keep the promise. Even unsaved people make promises to God. Right at this moment, I'm very, very busy, but I promise you when I finish this project, when I'm a little bit older, I will trust the Lord Jesus and I will follow you with all my heart. That day never comes. They die without Christ. They are condemned forever to hell without Christ, simply because they never kept their promise to God. But Christians also sin against God, even in their relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Christians also sin against God because they don't guard their tongues. And so I want to talk today about guarded vows, not just about what we vow, but how we guard our mouths when we make a vow. In the book of James, you find this in chapter 3. It speaks of the sins of the tongue, how the tongue is a very small member of our body, but the tongue is able to grievously and terribly sin against God, and how we sin when we make promises to God, or when we talk to God, or when we use our tongue in a sinful way. So there is a very important lesson here to be learned from Ecclesiastes chapter 5, and that is that continually we and our lives are to guard our tongues. We're to be very careful what we say to God. Now, to say fewer things would not be a sin. But when we do say something to God, we mean what we say. We are totally dedicated and committed to it. And with God's help, we will keep the promise we make to God. Now, again, and I want to emphasize this, there is no such thing as sinless perfection. We will be tempted from time to time. We do not honor ourselves because of this, but there are going to be times when we will fail, or when we will sin with our thoughts, with our words, with our attitudes, with our feelings, or with our actions. We immediately confess these to God. We come right back again. So it doesn't mean that when I make a promise to God, that I will live a perfect life. I remember when I was 16 years of age, I was 14 when I got saved from my sins. I was baptized when I was 10. I was a member of a church. I was faithful in attending a church, but I had nothing in my heart. Somebody said to me, "This baptism now will help save you. Here's a Bible. Be a good boy. Come to church, and you're going to be all right." And I wasn't all right, because in my heart I did not have the Lord Jesus. So I got saved when I was 14. But when I was 16, I had a major decision to make. No one had ever talked to me about making Jesus not only my Savior, but my Lord, and that I was to live for Him, and I was to follow Him faithfully, and I was to live my life apart from the world and apart from sin. In other words, I was to live a separated life unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And I remember the night somebody spoke in a Bible conference from the passage in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, those two verses struck me, especially verse 1. And I remember that night, my brother and I, some of you know the name of Dr. Walter Fremont, who's written many books. He and I, in fact, have a book that we've written together here in the bookstore, the only book I ever wrote with him. But he and I were young. He was 17, I was 16. We went down the aisle together. We dedicated our lives to the Lord, and we made a solemn declaration to the Lord that we were going to follow him, and that our lives now belonged to the Lord Jesus, that we were going to make the Lord Jesus Lord and King of our lives. Well, I cannot say I have perfectly kept that promise. I often have been tempted, and sometimes there have been little times of coldness, but always God in his grace has brought me to repentance and has brought me back again. There's been no great major sin in my life, but nevertheless, there's been this time of coldness where I've not perfectly kept it. But I took very seriously, this is what I'm trying to emphasize, I took seriously a promise I made to God. And I've learned in my life that just going down the aisle once and making a promise to God is not sufficient. It needs to be a daily committal of our lives to God. My wife and I, when we awaken, in fact, guard ourselves for the day that is ahead. We make a vow to God as we awaken in the morning. And the vow is, we dedicate this day to you. Guard our thoughts, guard our actions, guard our feelings, our attitudes, our words, guard everything about us. We dedicate this day to you. And so I would advise you, dedicate every day to the Lord, but guard what you say to the Lord. Don't say things carelessly to him. Don't make promises which you cannot keep or have no intention of keeping. You know, sometimes people do this in life. They do this with other people. They make all kinds of promises, and we sin against God when we do this. We make promises we cannot keep or we do not intend to keep. So the first thing about vows is guard what you say. Guard it. Don't make the wrong kind of promises to God. And guard your words. So when you make a promise, it means you are committed to it, you intend to keep it. By God's grace, you will keep it. And it will be a lifelong promise to God. And so I would pray this for each of you, that you would guard the way you make your promises. Guard your heart. Guard your mouth. And don't let your mouth utter things which you do not intend to do, or which you only do temporarily, but not permanently. So may God help you, each one, and the Lord bless you.